Chapter 2, The Evidence of the Solar System and Human Body.
ACLU to sue over Pennsylvania evolution debate. In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, eight families have filed a lawsuit against a school district that is requiring students to learn about alternatives to the theory of evolution. The ACLU, otherwise known by some as the American Communist Lawyers Union, and Americans United for Separation of Church and State, said the lawsuit is the first to challenge whether public schools should teach intelligent design, which holds that the universe is so complex that it must have been created by some higher power. The Dover Area School District voted 6-3 on October 18 of this year to include intelligent design in the 9th grade science curriculum. But the ACLU contends intelligent design is a biblical-based view that credits the origin of species to God. And one of the parents bringing suit, Tammy Kitzmiller, expressed concern that the school board would mandate the teaching of something that isn't accepted as science.
Now folks, I don't know about you, but I sure find it interesting how that parent could actually say that intelligent design is not scientific. I mean, what do we see in the last chapter? Scientists are getting saved right and left because of intelligent design, right? Exactly. But that's not all. We also saw that those who suppress the truth, like the ACLU is doing here, are actually what? They're actually storing up the wrath of God. And how many of you would say that's probably not a good thing to do? Therefore, in order to help you and I to become the most effective witnesses we can for Jesus Christ, and help these folks out, that's right, we're going to continue in our study called, The Witness of Creation. And what we're doing is taking a look at the five different evidences of creation that God has left behind for us, showing us that He's not just real, but that we really can have a personal, intimate relationship with Him, the Creator of the universe. And the first evidence God left behind for us showing us this amazing truth is the evidence of an intelligent creation. And in the last chapter we saw how the first evidence of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent word was the evidence of the universe. And there we saw just 9 facts about our universe, which clearly showed it not only was, but it had to be intelligently designed by an intelligent designer. Why? Because anybody who's not a few peas short of a casserole knows that design implies a what? A designer, right? And how many of you'd say when it comes to life it had to be God? Hey, you're so intelligent. But that's right, believe it or not, did you know the universe is not the only evidence we see of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent world? The second evidence of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent world is the evidence from the solar system. But hey, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Psalm 19 1-4. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
Now folks, according to our text, I think it's pretty clear. When we look up into the night sky, the heavens, the solar system, it should lead us to do what? To declare the majesty and glory of God, right? But the problem is, what does evolution teach? They don't say look up into the sky and see the handiwork of God. Are you kidding? They say look up into the sky and see what exploded from an accidental blob, right? Therefore, I'd say we better take a look at not just the scriptural evidence but the scientific evidence of our solar system and see just who's telling the truth. How about you? People, we're going to take a look at some interesting scientific facts about our solar system and you tell me if it could ever have accidentally exploded onto the scene.
Jupiter's distance. If Jupiter's distance were greater from the Earth, then there would be too many asteroid and comet collisions on Earth and hence destroy life. But if Jupiter's distance were less, then Earth's orbit would become unstable and destroy life. Sun's color and distance. Our sun just happens to be the right color and size for life to exist. For instance, if the sun's color were redder or bluer, then the photosynthetic response would be weaker. Also, if the sun were a few percent farther from the Earth, then the entire planet would freeze over. But if the Earth were just a few percent closer to the sun, the waters of the Earth would boil. In either case, no life. Size of the moon. If the moon were slightly bigger, then its gravitational effect on the Earth would be greatly increased. This would result in massive tides and ferocious winds that would wipe out life on Earth. But if the moon were slightly smaller, then the tides and winds would be too small and the Earth would overheat. Again, life could not exist.
And it just so happens that our moon is 100 times larger than the average-sized moon in our solar system. This is important because if we had an average-sized moon, our evenings would be 20 times darker. Why is the moon so exactly positioned in the sky overhead? It surely did not rush by like a speeding train, then decide to pause, and carefully enter that balanced orbit. If it did at any time, life could not exist. So the question is, who placed it there?
Distance of the moon. If the moon were much closer to the Earth, it would get sucked in by gravity and crash into us, bringing death to our planet. And if it were much farther away, it would move off into space, leaving death behind for our planet. Gravity on Earth. If there were a slight increase in the Earth's gravitational strength, then the atmosphere would retain too much ammonia and methane, which are toxic to life. But a slight decrease in the strength of the Earth's gravity and the Earth's atmosphere would lose too much water. In either case, life could not exist. Earth's rotation time. The time the Earth takes to rotate on its axis is critical to the weather balance. If the time the Earth takes to rotate once, now 24 hours, were increased by a few percent, then temperature differences would be too great to support life. If the rotation time were a little slower, then the atmospheric wind velocities would be too great and life would be wiped out. Earth's magnetic field. Earth's magnetic field is important in protecting it from harmful radiation from the sun. If the magnetic field was slightly less, then we would have inadequate protection from the sun's radiation and all life would die. But if the magnetic field was slightly stronger, then there would be constant severe magnetic storms and life could not exist as well. Axial tilt of the Earth. The axial tilt of the Earth is important in the temperature balance of the Earth's surface. The Earth is tilted at 23 degrees on its axis. If this tilt were slightly greater, than surface temperature differences would be too great to support life. However, if the axial tilt were slightly less, than surface temperatures would likewise be too great to support life. Earth's atmosphere. Without the air in Earth's atmosphere, there would be no weather, no wind, no clouds, no rain, and virtually no noise, because it cannot travel in a vacuum. Without air, nothing could fly, and all plants, animals, and people would die. But it just so happens that we have a perfect atmosphere for life. For instance, 8/10 THS of the air is seemingly useless to us, 78% nitrogen, but actually it's incredibly important. As it turns out, oxygen is combustible. Therefore, if there were no nitrogen in the atmosphere, the world would have burned up as soon as the first fire started. Also, after oxygen, the remaining 1% of our atmosphere consists almost entirely of the gas argon, but also small amounts of neon, helium, krypton, xenon, hydrogen, ozone, carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, and methane gases. And it just so happens that all these gases are invisible. If they had any slight tinge of color to them, we would all live in perpetual darkness, blocking out the sun and thereby destroy life. Earth's water. Pure water on Earth is colorless, odorless, and tasteless.
Kind of like chicken.
But not only that, water covers our planet more than anything else, about 70%, and it's needed to grow plants, and without it, they would wilt, become flabby, and die. Sounds like what happens after you get married. Our bodies are about 2/3 water, and we take in about 16,000 gallons of water during our lifetime.
And it just so happens that all living things are dependent upon it in some way or another for survival. And it also just so happens that even though there are other substances similar to water, only water can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas at Earth's normal range of temperature. If water was like other similar substances instead of being mysteriously unique, then there would only be steam, no water, no water vapor, no clouds, no snow, no ice, and no life. Now folks, I don't know about you, but I'd say the solar system clearly shows, it not only was but it had to be intelligently designed by an intelligent creator. How about you? In fact, I'd say anybody who says it wasn't, is acting like their wheels are spinning but their hamster's done dead, you know what I'm saying? And gee whiz, I guess that's why Alan Sandage, a winner of the Crawford Prize in Astronomy, said this.
I find it quite improbable that such order came out of chaos. There has to be some organizing principle. God to me is a mystery, but is the explanation for the miracle of existence.
Crone translation? If you think the solar system was created by chance, your wheels are spinning but your hamster's done dead. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? Of course he is. Why? Because any intelligent person knows that design implies a what? A designer, right? And how many of you'd say when it comes to life it had to be God? Hey, great answer, you're so intelligent. Oh, but that's not all. The third evidence of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent world is the evidence from the human body. People, we're going to take a look at some interesting scientific facts about our own bodies, and you tell me if they don't show just a bit of intelligent design.
The internal organs. The kidneys contain approximately 280 miles of tubes and filter 185 quarts of water a day from the blood. The heart pumps 5,000 gallons of blood a day. It beats approximately 100,800 times a day or 2,500 million times in an average lifetime. The body replaces over 1 trillion cells in a day. The lining of the digestive tract turns over about every 2 days. Faster if you eat spicy Mexican food, the body makes 2 to 10 million blood cells every second. If you lined up your red blood cells end to end, they would go around the equator of the Earth 4 times. The skin. The lining of our skin turns over about every 2 to 4 weeks. We shed about 40 pounds of skin in a lifetime. 1. This is why old couches weigh so much. And 2. How much is on that pew you're sitting in? The eye. The human eye is so complex and sophisticated that scientists still do not fully understand how it works. The eye completes 100,000 separate functions in a single day, and while we sleep it even conducts its own maintenance work. The eye has automatic aim, focus, aperture adjustment, provides color and three-dimensional images, and can function in darkness to bright light automatically. Question: how did this evolve? The ear. It just so happens that the ear is not only capable of sensory response to sound, but it does so at a pressure on the eardrum that is no greater than 2/10,000 of a millionth of barometric pressure. And then this minuscule pressure moves the eardrum about 1/100,000,000th of an inch, which is approximately 1/100th the width of a hydrogen molecule, the tiniest of all known molecules.
Question: how did the ear ever evolve, let alone the ability to function at submolecular level, let alone not exploding at the first non-molecular noise that came along? To illustrate this incredible sensitivity in visual terms, imagine a 6-foot man standing on the surface of the Earth and shrink him to only 1/100,000,000th of an inch. The Earth, shrinking also but still enormous when compared to the man, would proportionally be reduced to a tiny ball no bigger than the small letter O on this page. Thus, the man would become utterly invisible, even to the powerful microscopes of today.
The brain. Your brain is the most complex mechanism in the world and the most influential organ of your body, enabling your mind to think, remember, feel, reason, imagine, and analyze. It controls hearing, sight, smell, speech, eating, resting, learning, and everything else that makes you behave as you do. The average brain weighs about 3 pounds and yet contains 12 billion cells, each of which is connected to 10,000 other brain cells, making 120 trillion connections. In fact, the brain stores so much memory data that by the age of 40 it would take the Empire State Building full of computers just to store the same amount of information. Okay, some more than others.
Two eminent authors, both evolutionists, give a glowing assessment of the human mind and the brain through which it functions. The human brain is the most astonishing and mysterious of all known complex systems. Inside this mass of billions of neurons, information flows in ways that we are only starting to understand. The memories of a summer day on the beach when we were kids, imagination, our dreams of impossible worlds, consciousness. Our surprising capacity for mathematical generalization and understanding of deep, sometimes counterintuitive, questions about the universe. Our brains are capable of this and much more. How? We don't know. The mind is a daunting problem for science.
The DNA. The DNA molecule in your body is the most complex molecule in the universe. And this unbelievably complex DNA code, if you typed it all out, would have enough books to fill Grand Canyon 40 times. The average person has 50 trillion cells in their body. Each of those cells contains 46 chromosomes, except for the gametes, they've got 23. If you took all of the chromosomes out of your body, you would end up with about 2 tablespoons of chromosomes. That's it. But if you stretch them out and tie them all together, one person's chromosomes would reach from the Earth to the Moon at that 5 million round trips.
Now that is utterly amazing. But keep in mind, we still have much more of human body to cover. Check out these following excerpts concerning the incredible design of the human body from these researchers.
Automatic temperature control. Did you know we have a tiny automatic computerized thermostat, which works day and night to keep our body at just the right temperature? It's called the hypothalamus and is located inside our brain. For some reason, this tiny gland sends a regular signal about your ideal temperature to another part of the brain, which compares the temperature you should be, with the messages coming back from your body about how warm you actually are. If your body is found to be too hot, then an urgent message is sent to yet another body control center in the brain. This new center emits a command for the body to start sweating. Water begins to pass onto the surface of the skin, take heat from the body, and evaporate. At the same time your body was commanded to sweat, a second message to expand the blood vessels was sent out. This brings the overheated blood closer to the skin. You may start to look a little redder, but the heat from your blood is now lost through the skin to the evaporating water. You start to cool down. However, if the temperature comparison center decides you are too cold, messages are sent out to shrink the blood vessels. This brings the blood away from the cold skin. At the same time, the muscles are instructed to vibrate to generate warmth. As a result of both these actions, you may go pale or even blue and start to shiver, but you begin to warm up. All this and you didn't even have to think about it.
Now, if you try to construct a similar automatic system to maintain a large shopping center at the same temperature throughout, you will find it an elaborate and expensive task. Yet, a shopping center is nowhere near as complicated as a body. For any person to believe that the human temperature control system, which works so consistently and involves such complex engineering techniques, is a product of an accidental process called evolution, means they are simply ignoring every discovery we have made to date about the science of engineering construction.
The bones. Bones are the framework for your body. If you did not have them, you would lie nearly motionless on the floor like a jellyfish. Your 206 bones are all perfectly shaped to do the right job and in the right way. Each bone is somewhat different from all the others, yet perfectly designed for its task. It is connected in just the right way to perform its functions. The human skeletal structure is light and flexible, yet can withstand enormous stress. Your finger joints move like a door on its hinges, and your shoulders and upper legs have ball and socket joints, so they can turn in every direction. There are also ligaments to hold your joints together, and each moving joint is lined with a membrane that secretes a fluid to keep the joints oiled and working smoothly, while the ends of each joint has over it a plate of very smooth cartilage to provide a slick surface for rotation. Inside the bones is a spongy material called marrow. This design provides great strength, yet makes your bones much lighter in weight.
In fact, everyone knows that there are only two bones in your head, your skull and your jaw. But did you know that, at birth, you had many bones in your head? They were all movable so your head could squeeze through your mother's birth canal. Later, they fused together. Everything was planned, carefully planned.
The muscles. Your muscles are attached to your bones at exactly the right places where they will give the best leverage. One end of each muscle is attached to a movable bone, the other to a less movable one. Muscles are elastic and work in pairs. Most body movements require several pairs of muscles working together. You have two types of muscles, voluntary and involuntary. The voluntary ones change body positions and only work when you want them to. The involuntary work automatically. How can a muscle work automatically? Well, they do anyway. These involuntary muscles control motion inside the body, circulate the blood, move food along the digestive tract, and make eye adjustments. The internal system. If I tried to put an ad in the newspaper announcing houses that come with self-manufacturing plumbing and electrical systems, they would tell me I was writing science fiction, and refuse to print it. If I tried to have it printed in a science magazine, they would laugh in my face. But that is what your body does. Before you were born, it constructed its own plumbing and electrical system and more besides. Your body is filled with plumbing, in fact, with several totally different plumbing systems. These include your circulatory system, which sends blood all over your body, your urinary system, which purifies the blood, and your lymphatic system, which carries on additional cleaning actions in body tissues. There are also compact plumbing systems in the liver, kidneys, mammary glands, skin sweat and oil glands, and the endocrine glands. Your circulatory system is composed of a blood pump, your heart and the plumbing, blood vessels, needed to carry fluid, blood, throughout your body. The heart. The structure of the heart is another great marvel. It is perfectly designed for what it must do, and is the hardest working muscle in your body. In the wall of the right atrium of the heart is a small spot of tissue, and approximately every second this tissue sends out a tiny electrical signal which special nerves quickly carry throughout the heart muscle in the right ventricle. The message it sends is, beat. Instantly, a second note is alerted and relays the message on to the left ventricle, beat, and your heart beats. Moment by moment, day by day, year by year, it keeps beating. How thankful are you for that beating heart? The heart is a powerful pump that drives 5 to 6 quarts of blood per minute through several miles of tubes in your body. During active exercise, this can go up to 20 quarts.
The blood goes to all parts of your body from the aorta to still smaller arteries, and then into arterioles. These flow through capillaries so tiny that the blood cells must pass single file. As they do, oxygen and nutrients pass across into the cells, while carbon dioxide and waste leave the cells and pass out into the capillaries. Still other waste pass out into the lymph vessels to be carried away. From the capillaries, the blood passes into venules, then into veins, then into the inferior or superior vena cava, and back to the heart. Random activity of molecules is supposed to have invented all that. Why? The organism would be long dead before natural selection ever got started trying to figure out such complication.
The digestive system. From the mouth, the food is sent to the back of the throat where it passes through the swallowing mechanism. How many ages did it take for natural selection to figure out that you needed to swallow food without choking to death instead? Until that happened, food would all pass into the lungs instead of into the stomach. Another little detail, your pharynx not only contracts so you can swallow food properly, it also connects through eustachian tubes to each ear. Without those tubes, changing air pressure would quickly destroy your hearing. Passing down the 10-inch esophagus, the food arrives at your stomach. The cardiac valve guards the top end, and the pyloric valve the bottom end of your stomach. Both are ingeniously designed sphincter muscles. Within the stomach, the digestion begun in the mouth continues on. Signals are sent to the stomach wall, and it excretes an acid so powerful that it can digest meat. Why then does it not digest the stomach and everything inside your body? No one has ever satisfactorily explained that question. Next, the stomach begins churning back and forth, mixing the contents with hydrochloric acid. All the while, the pyloric valve remains closed. Then, something tells that valve to open, and the contents start entering the small intestine. Within that short length of tubing, bile pours in on signal from the gallbladder. It was oil in the food, which triggered that signal. The wall also signals the pancreas on the other side of the body to quickly send over some pancreatic juice. Still other types of juices come from the wall. All of those juices work to break up fats, proteins, sugars and starches into still smaller particles. The food gradually moves downward through the small intestine. Throughout its entire length, little fingers protrude from the walls called villi. In the center of each is a lymph channel with blood capillaries surrounding it. Between the villi are additional intestinal juice glands. The villi absorb the nutriments and send them into the bloodstream.
You could not design a more efficient way to do it if you tried, yet evolutionists say it all happened by chance. When asked how that could be, the reply is always the same: long ages of time, long ages of time. Anything can be done if given enough time. How did we live during all those long ages until our villi were invented?
The liver. Aside from your skin, the liver is the largest gland in your body, and one of the most astonishing structures in your body. The liver literally performs thousands of different functions. Here are a few of its major activities. It is a collection and filtration plant, carefully removing a variety of substances from the blood. Working with waste products and nutrients brought to it through the bloodstream, it manufactures literally hundreds upon hundreds of different chemical substances. Among these are bile, glycogen, stored sugar, and blood clotting aids and preventatives.
Since it does so much, how can the liver find room to store anything? Yet it does. It is a warehouse and stores iron, vitamins, copper, amino acids, fats, and glycogen. It is a heating plant, producing more heat than anything else in the body except the muscles. It is a waste disposal plant. Like the kidneys, it filters all your blood, removes certain waste products, and sends them off for excretion. Aside from your blood cells, the liver and kidneys are the major detoxification points in your body.